guys, it's Autumn Rain with Beyond the Record, and today I have award-winning musician and producer Amadeus here with me today. How are you doing, Amadeus?
I am great. Honored to be here. Again, congrats to you on all of what you've been doing. I'm happy to be here. Happy and honored to be here with you.
Thank you so, so much. I'm so happy you're here, too. It's a long time coming, so.
Yes, yes. But timing is everything. Right now, the timing is just right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Of course. I want to know from your beginning. I know you've had a very, very, very successful career. I'm going to get into that today.
Thank you.
Of course. So I don't want to know, like, how did you get started in music?
Right. Well, I was a little tender. You know, surrounded by music. Shout out to my mom and my late dad. They were music lovers. So growing up in the house, you know, you couldn't do anything on a Saturday morning until the house was clean. We called it cleanup day. And during that time, you know, my parents played different types of music. My dad was like the Bee Gees and like so many different vibes, chic. You know what I mean? My mom was like, you know, Kurt Franklin and like Afrika Bambaataa, the Furious Five, Salt and Pepper. So it was like two different worlds, you know, combined in one. So we just got to be blessed to appreciate all types of music, all type of artists and genres. So it started young. I don't know what they saw in me. This is a question that I still have to ask my mom, you know, today. Like, yo, what did y'all see in me that allowed that you know, pushed you guys to purchase me a little Smurf drum set at the age of like 3 years old? Like, what was I doing that you guys, well, let's get them some drums. So it started there. I didn't know what I was doing, but I tend to know what I was doing because if you look at the pictures, you know, there was no YouTubes, there was no videos. I was 3 years old. So how did I know to hold on to the drumsticks? How did I know to actually hit the drums? So it's just amazing to see like how really amazing God is and, you know, that people can actually be born and gifted with a gift and a talent. And that's, you know, pretty much how it started. Fast forward to third and fourth grade, we had to choose a musical instrument. I chose percussion, not even knowing what it meant, went into the classroom. And so I had to do it rhythm, fell in love with it because of the fact that when I would play the patterns naturally following my instructor, the girls in my class would get like hyped up about it. Like, oh, you know what I'm saying? So like, that was the true and real motivation. It's like, yo, this is cool. I like it. But like, y'all think this is fire? Like, all right, cool. You know, and that's kind of what the push was. And then it became a love and passion. And the rest was history, man. You know, tapping into producing and production and, you know, really becoming a professional drummer, growing up in church, developing as a true musician, developing in, you know, in my school, playing in marching band, jazz band, concert band. So, you know, I kind of shortened it, but that was kind of like the gist of how everything kind of came together.
No, that's amazing. I think it's so cool when like kids know like what draws them to certain things.
Right.
Like you put God in it too. I just feel like sometimes just like God just like shows you where you should be always. So even at a young age, you got that message clearly. And
absolutely.
Working for you. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. A lot was against me. Even with my parents being the music lovers that they were, they didn't understand the path that I was trying to take. You know what I mean? Like me saying, imagine like saying to your parents, y'all want to become a hip hop producer. They're like, what? Yes. Like, what is that? No, you're going to go to college. You're going to go to school. You're going to become this. You're going to become that. And it's like, nah, this is what's calling me. Even though you guys don't understand it, you don't really rock with the hip hop that I'm a part of and I create and I listen to because of the generation, you know, what you liked and what I liked. So it was definitely a struggle. And then, of course, growing up in the Bronx, in the hood, in the projects, being surrounded by so many negative things was trying to get my attention and pulling me away from what it was that I wanted to be. So, you know, it wasn't easy, you know what I mean? But it was worth every struggle, every challenge, every moment that I had to go through in order to get to where I am today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can totally agree with that one. Definitely. It's not easy path being a creative
man
at all.
Right.
Like everything is pushing you against like what your true plan needs to be. So I totally understand that as well. Who are some producers that you were inspired by to start your own career in producing?
Man, so many. Growing up for me, Puff Daddy and the Hitmen were like my all-time favorite producers. You know, when you think about them, you know, they brought us Notorious B.I.G. recipes, mm-hmm. you know, Faith Evans, Mace, 112, Total, you know what I mean? Like yeah. all of these amazing gifts and talents. And it's like that was the production team behind those great artists, but they also produced for so many others. They produced for Jay-Z and Mariah Carey, and just they just had a really dope, unique sound that I really love. So I definitely grew up being a fan of them. Dr. Dre, of course, me being from the Bronx, you know, I got to say Swiss Beats. Shout out to Buck Wild, DJ Premier, RZA, the Neptunes, Rodney Jerkins, who am I missing? Timbaland. Like, there's so many Pete Rock. Like, there's so many that just, you know, were influential to me in my career, and all in different ways, because, you know, they all have their unique styles and sounds. And I kind of, being a church musician, was able to take and pull from each and every single one of them and kind of incorporate that into who I am as a producer, right? Yeah. Establishing myself as Amadeus, where it's like, even though I was inspired by all of those creatives, I didn't want to be them. You know, I didn't want to sound like them. I took bits and pieces of each and every single one of them that inspired me and kind of made it my own. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. That's exactly what it is. Like, it's inspiring to you, but it's not, you're trying to like copy what they're
correct.
Trying to do. Like, you want to have your own sound and your own voice, so people know, like, oh, this is an Amadeus record, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, this is a Timbaland record, or this is like a Smith.
Yeah.
Record. You know, like, you want to know this is my record, you know? So.
And I love that you say that, because that was a big thing for me, right? Where respectfully, a lot of the producers that I mentioned had a sound, yeah. right? Where if they were produced for this artist or that artist and the song came on, 9 times out of 10, you can tell that was them because of their drums or their patterns or how they sampled certain things. And to me, I thought it was dope. But for me personally, I didn't want that. I wanted to confuse in a good way the listener, right? Where it's like, oh, that's Amadeus did this, you know, this Little Mo record, or Amadeus did this Dipset record, or he did that for Fab, or he did that for Justin Bieber. Like, I didn't want to have a sound, because if I had a sound, I felt like it could possibly box me in to one genre or to different type of artists and not allow me to be open to work with any type of artist. That's why when you look at my resume, humbly speaking, there's such a large range. I'm from the Bronx, so, you know, I produce for Fab and Remy Ma and Papoose and French Montana and, like, you know, the core New York locks. And but I also got Justin Bieber and CeeLo Green and The Game and Mike Jones and Paul Wall and Slim Thug. Like, just to show you, it's like, no matter what, Jeezy, T.I., like, it doesn't matter. The clips, where they're from. And I just kind of wanted to make sure that was important to me, to be able to not be boxed in and to create sounds, various sounds, and to be able to apply that and work with all type of artists.
Absolutely. And I, like, we're just about to just get into that too. So you already, like, you got me. So like I said, you have a very, very, very impressive and extensive resume.
Thank you.
All the names you listed too. I got Chris Brown, J-Lo, 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, Busta Rhymes, Keith Cole, so many top, Justin Bieber, obviously, so many, many top selling artists. How would you describe your producing process, or does it change really when depending on who you're working with?
So for me, I just create what I feel. I've never been the type of producer that created anything for a specific artist. I don't work well that way. And I'm just being honest and transparent to say that. Like, a lot of there's producers that have their niche where, you know, like a Pharrell Williams, where he'll go into the room with the actual artist and build a song from scratch. Like, like, he's fire with that. There's certain producers that are able to do that. That's not my strength. Like, my strength is leave me in a room, lock, you know, take the key, throw it away for like a week. Don't say nothing to me. Don't bother me. Don't give me no direction. Just let me do me. And I go in a room and I just create what I feel in that moment, you know, whether it's personal, whether it's a thought, whether it's a feeling, whether it's a mood, and I create what I create and then I send it out. You know what I mean? And if you gravitate towards it, you know, you gravitate towards it. And that's kind of how I always been. I've tried different things. I've tried other formulas, and it's just, you know, you learn what your strengths are and, you know, you go with that, you know what I mean? So I would never allow anyone to make me uncomfortable or, mm-hmm. you know, I have artists reach out, hey, let's build from scratch. And it's like, nah, that's not really my thing. You know, I got what I got. I'll send them your way. See if anything grabs your attention and we go from there. Cool. If we don't work, I understand it. I respect it. But I just feel like never allow anything or anyone to make you uncomfortable or put you in a position where you know you're not strongest in. And so if I know my strengths is just leave me alone. Let me do me. And that's kind of how it is. And I just send them out. And, you know, I always say whoever first come, first serve. You know what I'm saying? I don't care who it is. If you reach out first on that track, I have artists who, you know, hit me about the same track. And it's like, I don't care who it is. Whoever's first that reached out, I reach out like, yo, this is the deal. I got so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Want this track? What you want to do? You got first dibs. You know what I'm saying? And I don't really like the bidding war thing.
Yeah.
You know, because it could just get a little crazy. I just kind of like follow the order of who reached out. You know what I mean? So if the first artist that reached out is kind of like, you know, not really moving his or her feet, and it's like, all right, be right back. You know, I got something over here. They're playing games. They don't know what they want to do. What you want to do? You know what I'm saying? And if you're ready. And you got the bag, we out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
that's what it is, you know? And it's funny because certain artists feel like once you send them tracks, like that is theirs already. Nice. And it's like, nah, I don't care if you reached out. I don't care if you started writing to something, if you wrote a song, you recorded. It's not yours until you cut that check. Yeah, period. And I don't care who you are. Like, it's not yours. You do not own this until that check is cut and the paperwork is signed. Once, and you know, we can hold off on the paperwork. You know what I mean? Just cut the check. Yeah. Cut the check. It's all you. Take however long you want to take to release it, paperwork, put it out, whatever. But when you cut that check, it's all you. You know what I mean? And that's just how I move. You know what I mean? It's a business at the end of the day. And I think people sometimes don't really respect that. Like, it's a business. You know what I mean? And they try to make you feel bad for handling business. It's like, nah, this is what it is. This is what it costs. Mm-hmm. Big Bronx Energy, Fat Joe's voice, yesterday's price, not today's price. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, you can go over there and spend that. You can go over there and listen, there's levels, right? Where you think of food is. There's McDonald's, there's Wendy's. And then there's, you know, there's Ruth Chris and there's Mr. Chow. It's up to you what you want to eat. You can eat whatever you want to eat. But if you want to eat over here, it costs what it costs. That's just like, you know, you're going into Mercedes-Benz. You're going to have a Mercedes-Benz. You're going to have a Honda. Both great vehicles. No shot, no pun intended. No shots fired. There's Rolls-Royce, Mercedes, Honda, you know, and Jeep Wrangler. What you want to drive is up to you. But at the end of the day, if you want to drive a Rolls-Royce, just know you're going to pay about $300,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, so just get in where you fit in. You know what I mean?
I think it's like a lot of times as creatives, like people try to like lessen your value and tell you what your price should be. And it's like, you're not only paying for the product that you're receiving, but you're also paying for the expertise of the person who's creating that product. So I just don't think it's right for you to tell me how much you should be paying me. Like, I told you how much this costs. And if you can't afford it, that's fine. Like you said, shop elsewhere.
Listen, you can't go into Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Prada saying, oh, I like this scarf, I like this jacket, I like this bag. And then see if, you know, if there's a coupon for 50% off. It ain't no coupons.
Yes.
Think about it. You've never seen a sale at any one of, you know, those outlets, right? Or those clothing brands. Now you got the people that want to be smart. Yes, we know they got the outlets.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. Like, let's be serious. It's not the same thing. Yes, it's real. It's official. You can probably get some, you know, some nice things from there. But it's not nothing like going to the actual store and getting whatever that Louis Vuitton bag is or that Gucci bag is. There's never a sale. Yeah. And the thing is, you're in there and you're walking around with those bags and you're walking around with those belts and those sneakers and those shoes and those socks and you ain't complaining. So it's like, have that same energy and respect the process and respect the creators and do the homework to know who it is that you're working with.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Humbly speaking, but it is what it is. This is 25 plus years in the game. So it's like there's, you know, some young producers that are on YouTube. They got your friends down the hall. You know what I mean? That's on their computer doing anything. Much love. If they want to charge you $20, you can go get that. And it's fire. Do your thing. But if you come on here on this side, just know that this is the elite. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you have to own that, too. Like, you can't just like give handouts and stuff like that. Like, especially like in the beginning of your career, like, sure, like you might do things for like a lesser value because you're learning, like that's the experience that you're gaining. But it gets to a point where it's just like, when are you going to put that effort in, like all those years of work, and you're going to be like, okay, it's still $20. Like, it's still $30. You're not going to make any money. Like,
yeah, you, man, like, you got to stand on it.
Need it, you know? So,
and you'd be surprised. And I say this all the time to artists, right? And, you know, for those creators that are listening and watching us right now, like, it's about honesty and transparency.
Yes.
You never know what people are would be willing to do for you by just being honest and straight up. Mm-hmm. I've had artists say, yo, I really want to work with you. I don't have, you know, the numbers you would get from a Chris Brown or a Trey Songz or this, but, you know, I have this. And you'd be surprised. I'd be like, all right, cool. And they're like, hmm? Like, because you came to me, you were honest, you didn't waste no time. We didn't start working on no music. And then you'd be like, oh, I ain't got no money. Like, you respected me and you respected who. It's a conversation.
Yes.
It's a conversation. And I always let them know, like, yo, I don't feel any negative way. I don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel like you're disrespecting me. If anything, you're showing me real respect by saying, yo, I really want to work with you, man, but this is what I got. And I've worked with a lot of artists that's like, yo, let me pay my cell phone bill. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let me listen, give me a little stack. Let me go, man, catch these J's or something. Like, because at the end of the day, as a musician, I have thousands of tracks.
Yeah.
That are in my computer that are incredible, that sometimes are just sitting there. So it's just like, I would rather me go ahead and take that 1500, take that 3000, take that 4000, and, you know, let's create this dope record. We never know what'll come out of this. This could become number one. This could get Grammy nominated. This could be the top record in the clubs. Who knows? So it's like, give me the 1500, mm-hmm. and then let's see what it is. So, you know, for those creators, man, be honest, be straight up. Don't waste nobody's time. Respect people's time. Like, time is one of the most valuable things and precious things. People think it's money. People think it's materialistic things. It's time. You can never get time back. You can make money back. Yeah. You can get things back. Uh-huh. Time and people.
And people, yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. This industry is all about relationships too. So like when Absolutely. You see that artist that's like grinding and put in work and then they reach out to you like, hey, I only have 1500 for this track. You're like, okay, well, you know what? I have something that you can have, right?
You know what? I don't even do that.
Uh-huh.
The same beat I would send Chris Brown or Trey Songz, or it's the same level. I don't do A, B, C, D, E of tracks. I don't believe in that because at the end of the day, it's my name that's out there.
True.
That's so if I wouldn't send that to Chris, if I wouldn't send that to J-Lo, I'm not going to send that to you. I don't look at you as less of a creator or less of an artist because you're paying less money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I want to give you the heat I give them because this record can take off. We can have a number one record. We can, you know, this record can push you to be the number one artist or the biggest artist in the world. Who knows? So I'm not going to, because of what you're paying, give you less quality. I'm going to give you the same quality I give everybody else because this is my name. This is my brand. And most importantly, this is my legacy. When my name is attached to that, it's attached to that forever. When you release that online or on the DSPs, like, that's there forever. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really big on that.
Yeah. It's like the same thing. It's like talking to you versus like talking to someone who might not even have any songs out on DSPs. Like, mm-hmm. I still put in the same amount of effort, like researching as much as possible.
Yeah.
As I can, you know, it's like to have like a really good conversation with you. So I really respect that, like as a creative, because sometimes it's like, you do see those things out there, you know, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. editor, you've seen a lot probably.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I like that you're still like true to yourself regardless of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Absolutely. So what is a memorable like studio session that you've had or just like a really good experience that you've had in the industry thus far that you haven't, you know, you'll never forget?
Oh, man. Probably producing the ESPN's First Take theme song, right? that whole situation just was really a very unique situation. I was doing a lot of work with ESPN, scoring a lot of the music. So when you scoring, meaning like when you see ESPN on or SportsCenter or various shows throughout the day, and you hear the tracks in the background, like I was producing a lot of those tracks. And listen, man, they were cutting some nice checks, I'll be honest. And like you mentioned, you know, relationships are key. And shout out to Kevin Wilson, the music director of the ESPN. I remember him calling me one day and saying, hey, I teach at New Haven University, and I would love to bring you in on a panel, you know, to speak to my students, right? I was living upstate at the time, and, you know, business being business, and not knowing schools got bread, I was just like, yo, what's the honorarium? Mm-hmm. And he's like, nah, you know, it's no honorarium. It's just something that I want to do for my students. And I was like, thinking it's about like 2-hour drive. I got to know it's gas, it's toll. I ain't going to make no money. I'm like, mm-hmm. So I turned it down. Soon as I turned it down, I sat there with myself and like literally scolded myself like, yo, what did you just do? Mm-hmm. And it was a moment where I was just like, bro, this dude has you all over ESPN. Like he's put a ton of money in your pocket and he calls you for a solid and you tell him no, because there's not a bag that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. How dare you do that? And I called him right back and I was like, Kev, my bad, bro. He said, no, it's all good. You don't understand. I was like, nah, it's not all good, bro. Where you need me to be, what time, I'll be there to be on that panel. And he was like, you sure? I said, absolutely. Right. Fast forward, show up through the panel. Panel is amazing. He's like, all right, I don't have no big budget, but there's a Subway's up the block. You know, lunch on me. I'm like, cool. I love Subway's. Cool.
Yeah.
Go to Subway. We're sitting down, breaking bread. And he's like, yo, I got to get this. I'm trying to reach Talib Kweli and Mos Def for this theme song. And he was like, I can't reach them. I said, well, Talib's the homie. Like, I, you know, my son's mom sings background for him. I had produced records for him already. I'm like, that's the homie. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll connect the dots for you. And I was like, who's doing the beat? And he's like, haven't figured any of that out yet. I was like, I'll connect the dots.
Uh-huh.
You let me do the beat. He was like, done deal. Right. Fast forward, connected him with Talib, started working on the record. Some creative differences happened. Didn't work out. Wale is a friend of the show, loves the show. They brought Wale in, brought Stolly, who was also a part of Rick Ross's camp, MMG, brought them in. The song was created, right? And went in the studio, created the song. They wrote the song on the spot, documented the whole thing, filmed it. Boom, now we got the theme song for ESPN. That joint has been in rotation for like the last 10 years, right?
Wow.
Session was phenomenal. Super dope, super dope. Still to this, like everyone knows that song, you know, sports lovers, one of the biggest moments of my life. So I would definitely say that. And I told that whole story. I know I was a little long-winded, but I told that because I wanted people to recognize and understand how important relationships are, which is what you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And when people look out for you, man, you gotta show love in return. Like, it can't always be about the bag. It can't always be about the dollar. Yes, it's a business, but if there's a relationship that has been built where they've cut you checks already, where they've created moments and opportunities, you have to recall those moments. And if they need something on the love for the strength, you definitely make it happen. Because if I would have never did that, accepted that panel, pulled up, speak to those students, not be bougie, go sit down and eat in Subways. You know what I mean? Now we got to go to Ruth Chris, bro. You know what I'm saying? We got to go. If I didn't do that, that whole situation would have never happened. And that became probably one of my biggest moments in my production career. You know what I mean? So thank you for asking that. And I, you know, like I said, I got a little long winded, but I wanted to share the whole story so that people can see, you know, how that could have just turned out in a different way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think about the same thing with connecting myself with artists. Like sometimes mm-hmm. just like, oh, like this is an artist I never heard of. Like, I just feel like you just can't have like that mentality. Like it doesn't matter. Like as long as I like the music, that is like my
Yeah.
I just can't fake when I don't like someone's music. I have a very like bad, like poker face. Like I just like, I can't, yeah, I'm really bad at that. So just like, as long as I like the music, I really don't care. Like right. how many followers you have, like whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as the music
yeah.
is good. Like we're cool. So
I love that. I love that. And I'm sure they appreciate you for that, man. And like I said, you can be interviewing the next big thing, you know what I mean? And they'll never forget you for that moment. And when they do arrive and become that huge artist, it's like, yo, I remember Autumn looked out for me, man. So whatever she need, you know what I mean? It's a done deal. All those exclusives, like, you know, they'll, you know, if they're good people, they'll circle back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are three songs from your discography that you want fans to listen to get to know you better as a producer?
That's a great question. Not no one has ever asked that one. Wow. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Sheesh. I would say, wow. Probably, man.
Because I know you have so many different artists. I know this is super hard for you, but
that's good.
You gotta know. Take your time. Literally.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. That's a good one. I would say, wow. Probably Take Them to Church, which is Cameron and Joel Santana. Dipset, shout out to Dipset. It was a diss against Mace. I don't remember when, you know, they were kind of like beefing and Mace kind of like, you know, went to church and became a pastor and started preaching. And so it was a diss record towards Mace. I feel like it was definitely a pivotal moment in hip hop, especially from a battle rap scene and a kind of a diss record scene. And now we look, you know, fast forward today, 2025, they have a show together. They're like the best of friends. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why you don't get it. That's why you mind your business and you don't get involved in people's stuff. You know, you just never know how things pan out, man. Stay neutral, stay out the way. So that, I would say, it's a great question. Probably use the ESPN First Take theme song again. Because definitely a dope moment. A mixture of live instrumentation, hip hop, just a dope vibe, you know, not the track, not too hard, not too soft, kind of in the middle right there. And, you know, leaving room for the artists to do what they need to do. So I'd say that, probably a toss up between J-Lo, Same Girl, me being from the Bronx and that being like the queen of the Bronx and having that moment to create together. And probably, man, probably Justin Bieber's Christmas Eve. Really dope R&B record. When you think of Christmas songs, you don't think of it being like sexy. You know what I'm saying? You don't think of it, you know, kind of creating the mood for you and your queen or you and your partner or your spouse, like, and just kind of cuddling and, you know, getting a glass of wine and thinking of Christmas Eve in that manner. You think of Santa Claus and the toys and the kids being asleep. You don't think of it being a vibe, a sexy vibe. So I'll probably use that, you know, and I know you named three, and that's, you know, as me as a creative, you know, we hard-headed. We don't like to follow rules. If you say go that way, we go this way. So kind of threw four in there. So I appreciate you for letting me be me and be annoying and not listen and do whatever I wanted to do. So thank you for the pass right there that you allowed me to have.
Absolutely. I love that song by Justin Bieber. When I saw that on your discography, I was like, oh my God,
that's wow.
So insane that you did that track and now I'm here talking to you about it. Like,
man,
this industry is so crazy.
Love that. That's so dope, man. And it's so special because Christmas Eve happens every year.
Yes, yes.
So it's a moment where, you know, the song just kind of lives and lives and lives and it'll forever live because it's, you know, I don't know if there's another Christmas Eve. There could be, but I don't know if it ain't that. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Justin Bieber. Shout out to Chris Brown. Chris Brown actually wrote Christmas Eve with Justin Bieber. So shout out to CB. That's the part of that record. He's the whole reason that whole thing, you know, came about, man. And the J-Lo record. Chris Brown is definitely behind, you know, the Justin Bieber Christmas Eve and the J-Lo Same Girl record. So shout out to Chris.
Wow. I didn't know that. So cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So on top of being this like world star producer, you're also the music director and tour drummer for Trey Songz. So how did that opportunity come about? You've been doing this for 18 years too, and counting.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that happen? That's insane.
We were in the studio, and shout out to Mike Jones. And there was a record we were doing called, oh man, I forgot the title. Don't kill me, Mike and Trey. But, I forgot the title, but it was a record we were doing, and Trey was on the hook. And we was in the studio, we were in Houston, Mike flew us out and we were always in one room creating. And there was a drum set in the corner and I kind of saw the drums and I mentioned to both Trey and Mike, I'm like, yo, I play drums. And they laughed like, putting on drama, man, bro. I'm a whole church boy, man. You have no idea. Like this production that you're loving, it all started with me playing drums first. And I mentioned it. They thought it was the funniest thing ever. And I just said it in the same breath. I told Trey, I was like, bro, the music you're making, this is Trey's first album out. Got to make an album out. He fresh out the gate, you know, braids, like, you know, young king, you know. And I'm like, bro, you're going to need a band, man. You're making real soulful music. You're going to need a band one day. When you need a band, call me. Right? Finish the song. Everybody went their separate direction. I went back to New York. I think Trey was living in Atlanta at the time. Mike was already in Houston. So, boom. A year later, I get a phone call like, yo, you ready to put the band together? And I was like, And it was like, yo, Trey, his manager at the time, shout out to Delonte Murphy, was like, yo, Trey, once you mentioned putting this band together, all type of people reached out. I had people in mind. He was like, but you were the first one to mention putting a band together for him when y'all was in the studio. And I thought that was one of the realest things ever, because you know how this game is, where people talk that talk, but he put the phone call out, and I didn't know what I was doing. Never put a band together, just put it out there. And the rest was history, man. I called up some of my brothers that I played alongside in church, and we did one show. One show turned into another show. Another show turned into another show and another show. And next thing you know, we were on tour and, you know, literally never came back home. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, yeah, we, you know, of course we did, but you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
He was just on the move, and he was that just the hottest, one of the hottest R&B artists in the world. And tour after tour after tour, we opened up for Jay-Z. We opened up for Usher. We opened up, we co-headlined with Nicki Minaj. He did a bunch of his own tours. We introduced the world to Big Sean on our tour. We introduced the world to Miguel on our tour, as they were the opening artists for us. Elvana opened for us. We did a co-headline tour with Monica. Like, we was out there in them streets. You know what I'm saying? We did the BET 106 and Park tour with Day 26 and like Mario and like, yo, we was in those streets, man. So shout out to Trey for giving me a chance with not having any experience. You know, it was an opportunity for us both to grow and learn together. He never had a band before. I never put a band together. So it was the perfect, you know, marriage. And, you know, here we are 18 years later, then been all across the globe and back a few times, man, rocking stages around the world. So I'm grateful.
Yes, that is amazing. Oh, my God. Like, there's so many lessons too within that story that you told, because it's relationships. It's like you said, like people circling back around for you, but it's also like putting yourself out there and putting yourself out there. If you would have never said, like, checked out that drum set, they'd have been like, nah, man, you're joking. You play games, like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. But you saying that, and then you having coming up with the idea for the band, and then now them circling back to you because you have a good relationship with them, like all of that encompassing created these moments for like almost over two decades. Like,
crazy.
Crazy,
man. It's a blessing. And he just celebrated 20 years, you know, with the Gotta Make It album. And we had a show that we did here in New York, in Queens, for the Rise Up New York City, which is by Mayor Eric Adams and his team. And it was crazy being in a Queens park celebrating 20 years, us knowing that we, you know, contributed 18 years of that as his band, and just seeing a crowd of 30,000 people, you know, stand out on the lawn and cheer him on and celebrate, man, was a legendary moment, man. So I'm just grateful to be a part of his journey. Again, grateful that, you know, he chose my brothers and I and to rock out. And we call ourselves the Trey Songz Experience, man, because when you pull up, it's an experience you're going to get. You know what I mean?
So I'm feeling like there needs to be like a tour or something, because needs to happen. Okay, I'm just gonna
when we did that one show, he was like, you know, he kind of started throwing the word around. So I'm gonna leave that at that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, you heard it here first. Yes. Or did you hear it here first? Yeah, I didn't say nothing. Autumn said it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. So in addition to being a musician, you're also an author. So you have the children's book, The Story of Amadeus, and The Beat Goes On, that tells about your musical journey. So how important was it to tell your story in this medium?
Yeah, I go around to the schools, speaking at schools, hosting assemblies, you know, pushing and encouraging kids to chase and live their dreams like how I'm doing, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of life and the challenges that you may have being from the hood, just not allowing yourself any excuses of why you can't be successful and great. And for me, you know, when you walk into an auditorium, it could be 300, 500, 700, 10 kids. And sometimes not everybody is able to focus or pay attention and walk away with the jewels and the gems. And I said, you know, if I can create something where, even though I'm hosting these assemblies and I'm pulling up to their schools, if I can leave them with something tangible that they can refer back to in regards to myself and my story and my journey, I think that will be dope. And I'm like, you know, I'm not a really a big reader, and I'm not saying that's a good thing. Just being honest, yeah. I'm not really big on new reading books. I'm more of a visual person. I like to see things. So I watch film and documentaries. If you want to teach me something, show me it. Mm. You know what I mean? Not put it on paper. Like I don't really receive well. I have to see it. So for me, it was like, what would make me pick up a book as a person that's not that's, you know, not their thing. And so I put pictures on each page. You know, the book is 26 pages. Mm-hmm. It's right straight to the point. You know, it ain't long and drawn out, and it's enjoyable. You know what I mean? And it's actual pictures of myself as a child, as a kid, as a baby, you know, not like anything drawn, or it's my actual pictures that I went through and looked through the photo albums with my mom that she put together for since we were kids, and are actual pictures of myself in the book. And that's what it was. I'm really excited about it. Special thanks to the co-authors, Trina Stackhouse and Lynn Hobson, who I've created this book alongside. We did it during the pandemic. Perfect timing. You know, we all had to sit our behinds down and be still. So it was no excuses of why we couldn't get it done, because there were no distractions. There were no tours, no shows, no nothing. So we got it done. Really excited about the product. And it's amazing. And I'm grateful to say that hundreds of kids throughout New York, throughout, you know, the world, you know, have this book in their possession. And, you know, the legacy continues and the work still continues.
Yes. I think reading is like so, so important. I know you're honest. Yeah. Like, you don't like reading. Yeah. You don't read that much or whatever.
I'm trying to get better
now, because I got you. I haven't read that much this year, but like last year I was able to hit my goal. I read like 20 books. So I want to do that again. Like probably this year, but like,
wow,
10, you know, but I'm getting there.
20. That is let's pause and stop to congratulate you. That's phenomenal. Especially as a Black queen, because, you know, they say, but if you want us to know something, put it in the book, because we ain't gonna pick it up. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to you for doing that, man. And just, you know, that's fire. That's motivational. That's inspiring to me.
Thank you. I think it's just like, it was easy for me because I was like watching TV or whatever before I went to sleep. But instead, I was just picking up a book instead. So that hour before I went to sleep, I was just reading and just kept going. So that was my little like.
I'm going to challenge myself, because I'm TV master. So yeah. I'm going to challenge myself and be like, you know what? Sometime within, you know, me watching TV, you know, start out slow. Maybe like a little 15 minutes, a little 10 minutes or a chapter or two, just to kind of like get it going and just see how it goes. I think I like that. I think I want to attempt that, man, because I'm sure there's so much knowledge and things to gain, you know, from just reading. And so I love that. So I appreciate your inspiration on that.
Thank you. And I appreciate that.
I'm going to try it.
Yes. Yeah, so you're going
to let you know how that goes. I'm going to let you know. I'm like, yo, I read a chapter today. You got to be happy. You got to be happy. And like, you got to like go in like, yeah.
I got you.
Balloon, you got to be super encouraging.
I got you. So you've had like I said, so much success, and I had to shout this out as well. So you received the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award for your commitment to your community, and it was awarded by former President Joe Biden. So what did that recognition represent for you specifically?
First of all, I didn't believe it, because that came along with me earning my honorary doctorate in music, you know, the music business and entrepreneurship. So it's like a combination. And I'm like, whoa. you know, when you want to be a blessing to anyone, to others, you know, you don't do it to receive anything. You don't do it for accolades. You don't do it for your name to be mentioned. You just do it to be a blessing. You just do it to give back. You do it to change lives, to inspire, to help, to educate, to empower. Mm-hmm. And you just do what you do, you know? And so with that happening, and I'm actually looking at it while we're talking about it. And you know, just that and receiving an honorary doctorate, you know, a little boy from the hood, from the Bronx, from the projects, from where, you know, I'm supposed to be a drug dealer or be in jail or a gang member. And, you know, now, you know, you got to refer to me as Dr. Amadeus. It's, it's fire without even, you know, graduating from college. It's like, yo, no, you earned it because you put, and for people that are not aware, you're capable of earning an honorary doctorate by having 20 years, 20 plus years of experience in whatever field. So that's how it comes back. That's how, you know, they look into it to see if you're worthy and have put the work in for, you know, such a moment. You know what I mean? And I've done that. I'm 25 plus years in at what I do in music. So it's a blessing. It's beautiful. It still feels weird. You know what I'm saying? People are like, hey, Dr. Amadeus. And it's like, nice little ring to it, you know, and yeah. I definitely don't abuse it. I don't make people say it. If you say it, cool. You know, when I do my speaking engagements, you know, I use those moments to kind of use it to just, you know, be more of inspiration to the people who I'm speaking to, the kids that I'm speaking to, like, wow, he's a doctor. You know what I mean? Like, that created hip hop, that created R&B, that toured the world with Trey Songz, like that looked just like that us, that sound like us, that been through what we've been through and more and back, like, but he's Dr. Amadeus. So an amazing moment. Every now and then I look at it and I celebrate it, but always just staying focused on the real reason and the real cause, which is to continue to be a blessing and continue to help others. And if I would have never received that, you know, I still would be doing, you know, what I'm doing today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I think that it's just, first of all, congrats.
Thank you.
Congrats. Cause that's amazing. I think when you can just like pour back into the community that like raised you and like was able to afford you like everything that you've been able to accomplish is such a beautiful
experience. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, man. Crazy.
Beautiful. It's so,
thank you,
so Queen. Nice.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, I have this quick rapid fire question that I want to give you. And then I can know you even more.
Okay.
Know your journey. Okay. So we're gonna start off first with, what is your zodiac sign?
Aquarius.
Okay.
Aquarius. Yeah.
Okay. Nice, nice. So are you in, that's February, right?
January 30th.
Okay.
My actual birthday. Yeah. Yep. January, baby. Yeah.
All righty. So who is an artist that you would like to collab with in the future that you haven't worked with yet?
You know, here go me and my non-listening self. I would say Jay-Z, Rick Ross, and probably Kurt Franklin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
Kurt Franklin is one of my heroes, man. And like, you know, we're like right there. I got a chance to meet him. Was it last year? I think is it this year or last year? I forgot, but got a chance to meet him. Gave him a big hug and, you know, told him how much he meant to me. And he, you know, knew who I was and that blew my mind and, you know, recognized me and all of my works. And, you know, so I'm working on it.
Yes. No, we need that to happen.
Yeah, man.
I'm manifesting that.
Amen.
What is a brand deal that you like to secure that fits your image?
Ooh, come on, questions. Okay. Ooh, a brand deal. Wow, man. That's pretty good. Ooh, that's a good one. Wow. So I will say, ones that I would name, thankfully, and I'm grateful, I'm actually a part of. So Akai MPC is a machine that I use, a drum machine that I use to create. So I'm a part of them as an artist. Oh. KRK is my favorite speaker. I'm a part of them as an artist. I love sports. So I'm an endorsee of a starter jacket. So a lot of them, the drumsticks and cymbals and drums, like I have, you know, endorsement deals from, you know, a lot of them. So I've manifested, I would say, the majority of the brands that I felt would be, you know, great to work alongside. I'm trying to think, are there any more that I haven't tapped into? This is a great question. Maybe Apple. Ooh. You know, from the laptops and the computers and the phones, and you know, a lot happens, you know, musically with obviously our computers. Yeah. From me creating on it to me sending out music to me, you know, handling business on it, so an iPhone. So I think Apple would be a dope one. I think Delta. You know, yes. I am, I'm a million miler. So I flow over a million miles. Okay. So every time I'm bored, they recognize that. Delta will be a dope partner. Probably like, I love synths. So maybe, you know, teaming up with like a brand, a cologne brand, or, you know, because I feel like it's very important in life to just smell good. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, you go into a business meeting, you go into to perform and you do a show and people get a whiff of that scent. You know, I think it's a powerful thing that can help even create more opportunities and ventures just off of the fact that, oh, man, Ken came in smelling amazing. We got to sign him. You know what I mean? Because everywhere he going to go, he going to represent us and he going to smell good. You know what I mean? So, yes. You know, I would think, oh, that's a great, great question. It's a great question. Love that. Love that. Love that.
And I love that you already came with your own brand deals already. Like,
yeah.
I'm with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then with the scents part too, like as a woman, we remember. So like men, get your scent game up. Okay.
Please.
Like, we remember.
Works magic.
Yes. A good cologne goes a long way. So yeah, that's in that.
Just be sure, just men, fellas, just be sure to shower first.
Please. Lord Jesus.
Put it on deodorant and lotion.
Yes.
And then, you know, and then as you can see, you know, my fingers are, well, you know, they're cut, they're clean, there's no dirt under there, they're shiny.
Please.
You know, like people, take care of yourselves, man. I know you hustling, I know you're trying to get to the bag, but take care of yourself in the process, even from a mental state. Go to the gym, you know, go to therapy, you know, speak to those you love, you know, like just. You know, I had to throw that in there, Queen Autumn. I had to, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
It's more than the surface.
Yes. And do it for yourself, too. You should want to show up for yourself.
Yeah.
Do it for a partner.
Absolutely.
Let your partner appreciate the fact that you want to come as your best self. Okay.
Yes. Love that. You're right.
Who was your teen celebrity crush?
You said one, so Foxy Brown. Foxy Brown. I had Foxy Brown hung up in my locker when I was in school. Yeah. The Il Nana album.
Yeah.
A little spicy, but you know. No judgment out there, please. Thank you.
No, we're not judging.
Man, spicy. That was a spicy poster.
So who is an actor that you would love to play you in a biopic?
Ooh, that's fire. That's really good. Man,
I feel like I have one for you. I won't share until you share yours, though. So
my favorite actor is Denzel Washington.
Yes.
So don't get mad, Denzel. So I'm just thinking of where he is in life, his OG-ness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see him doing that because of, you know, where he is. So I think I would have to pick someone that's kind of along my age. Respectfully, Denzel, I'm just saying, I love you, my brother. I would probably choose. This is hard. I would probably choose Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah. I love what he's doing. I feel like he's on fire right now. Just young black king that, you know, I can relate to, like, carries himself a certain kind of way, even though I know it doesn't, you know, that's not the reason why you would pick an actor. Like, it would be more about the screenplay. But, you know, if I have my hand in it, I would want that person to kind of represent me in real life, like be similar to me in morals and values and God and, you know, the way he carries himself and just respect for others and respect for women. So I would probably choose, you know, Michael B. Jordan. Who would you choose? I wanted to get that out so I could hear what you would choose.
Yes. Okay. So the person I choose has passed. So unfortunately he couldn't play you.
Okay.
But I was thinking Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Wow.
I think he has a very like humble kind of personality and like
Wow.
just was a really great person overall. And I can see him. I see a little bit of a similarity
Okay.
too.
That's pretty good.
So that's who I was thinking.
Wow, man. Moment of silence. Rest in peace of my brother, Malcolm Jamal Warner. Man, definitely a brother of mine, a friend, a musician. A lot of people didn't know that he was a musician as well. An incredible bass player, producer, songwriter.
I think he won a
great.
Grammy.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, I think
he did. That's awesome. That's well deserved. Amazing. Amazing. But, you know, great actor, all of those different things. But most importantly, a great man, a great king, a husband, a father, a brother, a son, a nephew. You know what I mean? Just, I love that, man. The great, you're trying to get me all emotional. You know, us Aquarius, you know, we're very emotional beings. So, you know, you gotta be careful, man. I can't be on here crying, man. I can't be on behind the record crying, man. Hold it together. That was beautiful, though. That was awesome. Shout out to Malcolm Jamal Warner. May he rest in peace and his legacy. And I watched him growing up. You know, my family, we watched the Cosby Show faithfully. Every night. Like, that was a treat to us where every night we watched that show. You know what I mean? And it's crazy to be able to show your kids that show. Like, you know, so my kids know the show. Like, yo, this is what I used to watch when I was your age. And so they know who he is as well, man. So such a blessing. I love that. I love that.
That's
great job.
I thought, yeah, of course. Of course.
Great job. That was well thought out.
Thank you. Thank you. What is an album that you love to listen again for the first time?
Man, pretty good. I would say, I would probably go with Life After Death.
Ooh.
The Notorious B.I.G. Life After Death. That was a very difficult decision, but I'll probably go with Life After Death. Incredible body of work. I remember purchasing it from the Wiz store, the actual CD and the cassette tape, and listening to that for the first time. I was on a bus going home after purchasing that CD and with the little CD player. And and I remember that, man. That was, wow. Yeah. The Life After Death album.
That's a good one. That's a good choice.
Yeah.
What is your favorite album so far this year?
This year, probably the Raekwon album.
Ooh, okay.
Emperor's New Clothing, yeah. And I actually produced a record on there, and I'm saying that because, you know, he's still going. You know, definitely a legend and an OG in the game. Still going, still creating, still just having that cloth, just talking that talk. And I don't even know how old he is at this point, but still got that swag, that energy, and just me thinking about, you know, picking up the Purple Tape, you know, album and growing up listening to, you know, Wu-Tang and him and finally having an opportunity to work with him and him actually releasing an incredible body of work in 2025 and me be a part of that is legendary. So I would definitely say that, you know, the new Raekwon album.
Yeah, no, that's a really good choice.
Yeah.
So if you didn't have any type of position in the music industry, so if you weren't a producer, if you weren't a drummer, what career do you think that you would have gotten into?
I can't even answer that question. Like, I don't see myself doing anything else. Like, I've tried to, like, what would you do? Like, what would, like, this? It was when I decided that I was going to chase this dream, it was all or nothing.
Yeah.
It was my A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It was no plan B, no plan C. It was just like this or nothing. And I felt that God equipped me with all that I needed. I felt like he gave me the gifts and talents that I had what it took to make it. And he gave me the motivation and the drive. And I just always had that. If I commit to it, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to figure it out. You know what I mean? And that's been me my whole life when it comes to music. That's been me now as a man, as a father, you know, me being 44 years old and just being able to evolve and to adapt with how music is right now, with how the world is right now, with technology. I'm still here, still in your face, still you know, creating magic, still walking in my greatness, still pivoting into other areas in life. And I never, ever in life would have thought that I would be a successful motivational or public speaker. Never saw that coming.
Wow.
Never saw that coming. But, you know, when your heart is in the right place and you just want to be a blessing, you know, God will work through you, man. And, you know, like I said, I've always just wanted to inspire and push people. And that's, you know, what I do. And so I'm still rocking the music, still touring. My residency is actually ending this weekend at Dre's. I've been in Dre's for 8 years, going on 9 years as the resident drummer. Historic, never done before, especially in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
as the drummer, like playing alongside the DJ in a huge club that hosted thousands of people. You know what I mean? For 9 years, and I'm grateful. And it, you know, you just got to be able to, like, pivot was a key word for me at the beginning of this year, to be able to pivot. Yeah. Things slow down. Shows slow down, tours, bookings, and you just got to be able to tap into each and every single one of your gifts that God has blessed you with, and live life from it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's no reason on why you should be waking up doing something you don't love to do. Yeah. Like, that's settling in life, and that's something that I've never done. So to be a public speaker and speaking at commencements and graduations, and like, I never in a million years saw that coming, and it's all God, because I've never wrote a speech in a day in my life. I've never written a speech. I will pull up to, I just did this summer, Mount Vernon High School in a huge football stadium. Like, and I want to share this because I never really spoke on it. Like, mm-hmm. It was the first time I got nervous. Like, I'm looking around and I'm like, yo, all these people are here. You know, these amazing students are graduating, hundreds of students, hundreds of family members in a football stadium in Mount Vernon that we would drive by on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I'm in here giving the commencement speech. Like, you know what I mean? And it was a moment where I was just like, wow, God, like, and just to be a blessing, just to push them to be great, just to, you know, support them and show love. And it was one of the most amazing feelings, and it went well. And it was just like, how did I get here? And the answer to that question is God, man. Like, and for those that are tuned in, it's like, you have so much within you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't ever let anybody box you in. Don't let people or things to say you deserve to be here and deserve to be here only. Like, nah, do everything. Walk in all your gifts and talents that God has given you, because you just never know when a season will come where maybe it'll slow down. Maybe it'll dry up. Maybe it'll end. Maybe it'll be the end of a chapter. This weekend will be an end of a chapter of an amazing book that was written from me having a residency in Vegas. Like, but it's closing, and I'm not worried. I'm sad. Of course, it's like, man, but I know God got me, and I know my hustle, and I know all of what I've built, and I know all of the various eggs that I placed in different baskets. So it's like, cool. Less of that. Okay, cool. More of this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So God always got you, man. I always say faith over fear.
Yes, absolutely. I think when you're talking about the commencement speech too, it's like you were nervous. And I feel like that's honestly a great sign. It's just
shows. But I never do. I'm never nervous. See? Like, never.
Yeah.
No, like, for no shows, when we did the show with Trey, like, I think I played in Australia, Recipes Fat Man Scoop. We had a show in Australia, and it was 88,000 people out there. And he was like, "Are you scared? You nervous?" I was like, "Nah, bro, I'm hyped." Like, because they're just watching us do what we love to do.
Yeah.
We've been in rehearsals. We worked hard. We put the show together. We studied. Now it's time to show them what we got. Exactly. So I'm hyped. So, yeah. So, you know, so it just was, it was different. It's like, this ain't a show. This ain't me playing drums. This is people's lives. This is people, you know, graduating from high school and entering into the real world. So, like, I want to be able to say something that's inspiring to them, something that they can walk away with that can help them in the near future as they take on the world. Like, they're the future. And I want my words to mean something to them. I want to say what I need to say that's powerful and impactful. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't want to let them down. Like, that was the whole thought process. And I it was just like, all right, well, it is what it is. God, you got me. This is what we do. They got me here for a reason. They believe in me. They trust me. So go do what you do. And it's like a blur. You get up there, you're up there for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. blur. You sit down and all you hear is claps and people saying, you know, that was amazing. And you have no idea what you said.
But that just shows how much you care too.
Right.
Because a lot of times these commencement speakers, they just don't really care. And you can tell from that.
Yeah.
And sure. I just think, like you said, like you are just someone who cares a lot about your community and like that poured into those students as well. I'm pretty sure of that.
Right. Man, God is amazing.
Yes, he is. It was such a great time speaking with you. But before I let you go, I want to know, what can fans of your work expect next from you?
I always say stay tuned, right? I don't like to talk about things too soon or throw things out there, man. And, you know, somehow a monkey wrench get involved and it changes. You know, so I just always say stay tuned. You know, I want whatever God wants for me.
Yes.
You know, so that's, you know, obviously producing, which is I love. That's performing, which I love. That's, you know, inspiring the youth and the young generation, which I love, and just empowering them and doing what I do. So I'm whatever God is with, man. And stay tuned. You know, follow me on IG because, you know, obviously that's like, you know, where you share with the world what you got going on, what you're doing. So follow me on there, of course, is Amadeus PBM, Amadeus PBM. Website is IamKingAmadeus.com to keep updated on whatever I have going on. And, you know, it is what it is, man. And we, the reason why we're here, I want to give a big shout out to Cookie, Compulsive Magazine. I'm on the cover. And of course, I go sit down and don't have the book. It's all the way over there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, shout out to Cookie and Compulsive Magazine for allowing me to grace the cover for the July 2025 Music Edition. I've graced inside of the magazine a few years ago. And I told Cookie, I was like, Cookie is the boss lady. I was like, listen, one day we'll be on the cover. And she's like, keep working. You know, keep working.
Yes.
Keep working. We'll see. And the time has come. So if you don't have the magazine, definitely grab your copy. On my Instagram, in my bio, my profile, there is a link there to actually order, you know, your copy of the magazine. Please go get that. Please, yes. Please. It's an amazing read. It looks absolutely phenomenal. So shout out to Cookie. Shout out to you, Order, for having me. I appreciate you. This is an incredible conversation. You are great at what you do. You know what I'm saying? So go get them. You know, Oprah's getting a little vintage. You know the View, they're getting a little vintage. You know, Sherry Shepherd. Notice I didn't say old. I said vintage.
Yes.
You know, get a little vintage. You know, to put some respect on it. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So they gotta make room for the Queen Order, man. And you here, and you ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited to see what God has in store for you. You know, moving forward. So thank you for having me. I appreciate you, Queen.
Thank you so much for coming here and sharing your story. I learned so much. And I think everyone listening will as well. Like, just to have that inspiration, I think everyone needs that, like, reminder that you need to just keep going and believing in yourself. So I'm
absolutely
happy that you were able to tell all the listeners today of that message, because it's really important to me as well. And thank
absolutely
you so much.